All right. Hi, everyone. Oh, we've got a couple more people just joining us. So nice to see you all. The sun is out in Bristol, so I'm delighted. Oh my God, I'm so fed up with the mud. If you've got a dog, you'll know what that's like. It's just crazy. Anyhow, let's get here and then we'll start. Yeah. So yeah, just invite you to put your feet on the floor, nice and flat. Just sink into your seat. If you find it easier to go in by closing your eyes, just feel free to do that. Your video isn't being recorded, it's just me. Just take a moment to breathe. Oh, might be the first conscious breath you've had today. That's okay. Just notice that your seat is holding you. Invite your belly to soften into it. Let your hips open and relax. And just bring your attention up your back to your shoulders. Just give them a little roll. It feels good to you. Might feel a bit like Sisyphus. You're carrying the world on your shoulders. Just give that a little roll. Feel your shoulders slump a bit. Come up into your neck. Stretch it out. Over the crown of your head and down your face. Just invite your jaw to soften a little. You might have been doing too much smiling today. And then just bring your attention down into your heart. Just notice what's here today for you. What emotions might be present? Notice how much energy you have today. Sometimes it can help to give yourself a little score out of five. Where's your energy at? And that'll be based on how much sleep you've had, how much you're taking care of yourself, all the other responsibilities that are requiring your energy and time. Just notice that you can be with it, whatever it is, whatever your energy level is. Notice what's present for you in this moment. What might you like some support with today? What might feel good to you to share? Might be a challenge, it might be a celebration, a realization, something you're pondering. There's no rules here. All of you is welcome. So when you're ready, just give your toes a wiggle and come back into the room. Nice to see you all. Andy and Anka, nice to see you. Cool. So good. So good. Oh, and Esther's joining us too. She's popped in the waiting room. So good to be with you all. I thought I would share something with you, and I've got an invitation. If you fancy playing with me a little bit first up, and then we can come to any coaching that might be required. If you know you want some support today, please do mention it in the chat so I know to come to you. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here too, Sheena. It's so wonderful to see everyone's faces. What a highlight for my week to come in on a Wednesday and see you all. So I've been thinking quite a bit about what I want to bring into this year. I know it's towards the end of January, and we're supposed to have sorted that out, be organized by now. I'm not one of those people. I take my time. So I'm really thinking about what I want to bring in and also what I want to leave behind. Like, what is just like, oh, that's just an old version of me. It's a coat that doesn't fit me anymore. So I'm just going to hang it up in the cupboard. Doesn't have to go anywhere, but I don't have to be wearing it every day. Funny story. The other night, I thought, oh, I'm just going to write this down for myself, do a bit of releasing, you know, but I get the Palo Santo out, which is just like a stick. It's a special wood and it's meant to have clearing and cleansing properties. You can buy it online. It smells delicious and I love it. So I thought, right, write down what I want to let go of, release, and ready to put in the cupboard and do a bit of a cleansing. Anyhow, that took about an hour. Bodhi's sitting there going, what are you doing? Why can't we just watch the telly? Anyway, it was a really nice process and I felt really like, okay, I'm ready to like let go of stuff that's just not mine anymore. Woke up the next day and you can't really see it, but I have a zit the size of Vesuvius on my chin. Talk about cleansing, releasing. It's like, oh, and if it does honestly feel like I have an extra nose when I touch my face. So I just want to say, like, the whole instant manifestation thing I was joking on Instagram yesterday, like, I take it all back. That totally works. But if you're me, it doesn't work in the way that you want it to. So just to say, like, sometimes those things can happen, right? Where we're like letting go of stuff or we want to call things in. And then we get the kind of unexpected, like, playfulness of the universe. I think the universe is incredibly playful and is always kind of joking with us. There's a real kind of cosmic winking going on all the time. So that was kind of fun. But I did feel really good after I sort of let some stuff go. And I wondered if that would be helpful for us to spend 15 minutes playing with today. Is I don't know about you. Is there might be one or two things that you're like, yeah, I'm actually ready to let that go. Yeah. So I thought what we could do is because we have what I did was use the meaning making map because I'm sharing this stuff with you because I do it all the time. And I thought, oh, let's use that. That'll be super helpful. So there were a couple of things that kind of happened last year that felt unresolved for me. Things that just felt a bit like, oh, there's some stickiness there. Or, you know, I don't feel like it's complete. One of them was a really happy thing, but I felt like I hadn't spent time playing with it and really dwelling in that. And a couple of things were not great. Were just things that I was like, oh, that doesn't feel good or complete, and I want to play with that. So I just want to say, like, this process works either way. Like, we don't have to spend all of our time worrying about the worst things ever, right? So there may be something that if you just give yourself a moment to think about, feels a little unresolved from last year or even from January. And I just invite you to kind of list a couple of things out for yourself. Like I said, it could be something that you're like, oh, it feels sticky and a bit ick, and I want to deal with that. And there might be other things that you think, oh, I didn't spend time really dwelling in that joy or happiness, meaning. And we can do that. So just take a moment to think about what those things might be. Might be something as simple as a conversation. That's what it was for me. Conversation that didn't quite go the way I had intended. Everyone got something they want to play with. Groovy. So, the first thing to just list for yourself is, what do you remember thinking at the time? What were you thinking about at the time? Now I'm going to do this too at the same time with one of the things I released, so you can kind of see it as we go. Let me share my screen. So I had an email from my dad, who I don't have a great relationship with, about my brother, who was a bit of a car crash, has a bit of a car crash of a life. And what I remember thinking at the time was, my father, he doesn't want to be responsible like for his own actions. He doesn't think about what this might be like for me to hear. And there's a kind of childlike aspect to this. So I was totally in judgment of him and my brother, which is a very familiar state for me to be in with them. Oh my goodness. So this is the kind of process that I think can be really helpful, right? It's just listing it down. Everyone got a sense of what they were thinking at the time? Yeah. And what were you feeling at the time? Remember, our thoughts tend to influence our feelings. And I just want to also say, like, sometimes I find it quite hard to actually name the feelings that I have. Like, you'll even see here, I've written, why do I have to be the grown up, right? Like, that isn't a feeling. But I'm just referring back to the feelings wheel, right? Which is on page 30 of the playbook. Now, what is the feeling there? That sometimes helps me to figure out where I'm at with it. For me, that feeling is withdrawn. I'm just like, oh, can't do it, can't deal. So just notice what your feelings are. Notice that sometimes it's hard to articulate them, but you can always figure it out. Everyone got something that helps you see all of that. And then we go down into the sort of, so these are the things that happened at the time. And then in the bottom row, we're looking at, the meaning that we made from that experience. So what do you remember making it mean at the time? When this happened, what did you make it mean? And you may have made meaning, so lots of M words, you may have made some meaning about you, about any other people that were involved, or maybe about how the world works. Mary, that's so cool. I know it's really early for you, love. You're just sharing in the chat. I wasn't expecting this level of inquiry this morning. Wowza, thank you. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Like, we've spent about 4 minutes on this. Isn't it insane to me how you can just open yourself up to yourself just by asking a couple of questions? Yeah, what a gift. Everyone got a sense of what did you make it mean at the time? Sometimes that meaning will be quite like protective. Like you might spot your protective self-doubt in there, making it mean. Maybe if it's particularly if you've made it mean something that's not great about you, right? There might be a sort of protection in there. I can see that in mine as well. Like I made it mean, oh, look, our relationship is never going to improve. Right, this is doomed. You might have some conflicting meanings, like you might be able to see, oh, okay, yep, I can see that this was true and I made it also mean this, and sometimes those things can contradict each other, and that's okay. Everyone got a bit of a handle on that. And then the reason we ask what other meanings you can see now that might also be true. The purpose of that question is really to, bring to life this thing we call the benefit of hindsight, right? Like, what does that actually mean in practice? It means that we're usually out of the emotions and the feelings and the stuff that's riding through our bodies in the moment. We've usually got a bit of distance to that. And so it's a bit easier to access that kind of healthy adult self of ours. That can see a wider perspective. And so, by answering this question, which I think is the hardest question, by the way, we can look at, what parts of ourselves might see this differently, the part of that was kind of in the situation, the original situation. What does our healthiest adult self see? And for me, that always starts with, if I brought my most compassionate, lovingly detached self to this, what can I see? And do shout if you are finding it a bit tricky to come up with some new meanings. I just want to share my example. If I expand into that lovingly detached, compassionate part of me, I can see that, well, actually, my dad is in pain. And he's probably feeling a bit guilty and a bit alone and trying to help my brother, who is, by the way, very much a grown man. But because he hasn't ever felt ready to look at himself, he kind of can't see this dynamic. And in some ways he is childlike, but if he was a frightened or hurt child, how would I respond? Right. Notice nothing about the incident or the circumstance has changed. But I can look at this a different way. I can see what's mine and what's his, and how that dynamic might be playing out. Just notice that for yourself. What might also be true? It doesn't take away what you made it mean at the time. It doesn't diminish or in any way negate your experience. It just says, oh, and also this could be true. And how does that help you? And everyone see at least one other thing that might also be true about their context. So just notice, yeah, I love that, Kate. Big Mars energy being unveiled for me in an area I haven't seen it before. Notice how it is so much easier to kind of see what else might be true when you've got some distance, when you can kind of stay in that place of, compassion for yourself too, right? We're not in the maelstrom of a emotional charged experience. We've got some distance. We can kind of go, oh, I think that was also going on, right? That was also true. Anyone want to share anything that came up? You don't have to give us the whole story if you don't want to, but if there's been a realization for you that you feel like, oh, I want to voice this, I want to kind of say this out loud for myself, then please feel free to let us witness you in that. Yeah, Sharon. Hi, love. Can you unmute?
Hello,
There she
everyone.
is. Hello.
Great to see everyone. Yeah, I thought I'd share. This was so pertinent because it was like really on my mind today. And like, I was like, okay, I'm going to get all this out on the page. And you know about this, because we talked about this before. And you're probably going to think, why the hell is this thing still going on? So this person who is in my mastermind and has been in it for 3 years. And when she joined the mastermind, she was the only person who refused to sign like a direct debit like everybody else. And the reason it then became clear, the reason she didn't want to do that, because she wants to be in control of when she pays me, which is as little as possible. She should be paying on a monthly basis. And so what is the question? So what do you remember thinking at the time? Well, if you take the situation in the round, the fact that she still isn't paying me. So I'm thinking she doesn't respect me. She's taken advantage of me. She's not in the real world. She has no idea what this is like for me emotionally and financially. What are my feelings about that? Frustration, incredible frustration with her and with myself, my inability to deal with it and just boot her out and just like I feel resentment at her and myself. I feel that anger. I'm getting to the point where I do feel a lot of anger now. I feel I can't even say this word, incredulity, like what a nerve. I can't believe that she is continuing to do this. And I feel a little bit, sometimes I feel a little bit helpless, like, well, you know what, she's never going to pay me, so what can I do without resorting to like nasty tactics, which she knows I'm not going to do. What I made it mean at the time, yeah, again, she doesn't respect me. I brought this on myself for being too nice and not having clear boundaries. This is a really difficult situation. And the other thing I'm making it mean is that she will never pay me, therefore she will win. She will get what she wants because, you know, she's just never going to pay me. The other meanings I can see now might also be true, but I'm also saying this through gritted teeth
Sure.
to say, like, she might be really stressed about this herself. And maybe she is if she hasn't got the money. And we have had so many conversations about it when I've said to her, can you just be honest? And if you haven't got the money, just, oh no, I'm going to pay you by the end of the month or the end of the year or whatever. She never does. So she might be really stressed about it. Or she just might be totally oblivious to the situation. I mean, this she's done other things with people in our circle where she's taken their money and then not delivered on what she's supposed to. And they've then come back to me because it's been people in our membership that she's done work for. And then people come back to me and said, oh, you recommended her, which I didn't, but you know, it's like she's posted in the group and then they paid her money and then she hasn't delivered. And sometimes I think she's just away with the fairies, you know, just totally oblivious. So that. Oh, and the other thing I wrote down, the other meaning is I'm super tolerant and understanding of people's situations. I am generally, but it has reached a point. So there you are. It's like, whoa, it's all going on here.
Yeah, I love that it sounds to me, Sharon, just from what you've shared, it's like you can kind of see the whole thing playing out here, right? And what we're going to talk about is then how do you release it,
Yeah,
right? So
it's
I
really
want you
feel
to
like
think
it's got
about
to a
that.
point, you know.
Yeah, because you've got, like, if you looked at this in maybe someone who was seeking coaching from you in your mastermind had this situation, what would your advice be?
Well, my advice would be is it's all about choices, isn't it? And I can choose to basically send her an email, draw a line under it, and say, unless you pay this by the end of the month, then you know you're no longer you won't be in the mastermind and you won't be in the train sort group, end of, you know. So I've got the choice to do that. I've also got the choice to let it go and kind of go, I know I'm going to get the money. I know I'm never going to get the money, so I'll just have to let that go. Having said that, the reason why I'm finding it really difficult, I think like one of my values is really like a sense of fairness. I just hate injustice. It drives me crazy. And that's what I mean about this feeling that she's going to win. Like, I mean, how dare she? It's like, it's just not right. It's not
No,
fair.
it's
And
not.
do you know what I mean?
It's not fair.
And if the other people in the group knew about it, they'd go, you know, I just find it really difficult.
Well,
Truly
and the
do.
other thing that comes to mind for me is you're operating a business that I imagine you want to grow and to bring in more clients and more people, and this circumstance is sucking so much energy and life force from you, right? And I always think when these things come up for us, particularly as business owners, and I know some of you here are in the same boat, I sort of see them at, you know, it is a cosmic wink. It's saying, how do you deal with this annoying situation? Because if you can come out of this from your values, then you clear it. And then as you grow and you work with more people and your business, you know, you sort of step into that leadership role, then it's like different challenges will come your way. Right. But this is almost like a little test to say, all right, we've got this person who's just going to poke you in your tender places. What you going to do? So another way to release this is, what would my future self thank me for doing? And you're absolutely right. It's all about the choices, right? But I do think if we're in the business of, and I think everyone here is, right? We're in the business of growing and expanding and becoming our most fulfilled and kind of expressed selves, then, you know, that ain't all unicorns and rainbows, unfortunately. Sometimes it's an enormous zit on your face. Sometimes it's a really difficult client. It's, you know, sometimes it's a really, you know, quite tender and heartbreaking family dynamic, right? All of that's in the mix because we're alive. And we get the choice to decide, how am I going to come at this? How am I going to come at this? Because you already know what happens if you keep on tolerating her behavior, right? You know what the consequences for you, for her. If you interrupt that, something else could be revealed.
Yeah, it's doing something different, isn't it? It's there's
yeah.
that option. Because I feel sorry for Shane, you know, is my money person, because he's the one who deals with it mostly. And he said to me the other day, because she just keeps telling him the same old thing, like she either just ignores him or then says, oh, I'm waiting for a payment to come in from somebody else. I mean, she just keeps spinning the same line. And he goes, oh, we've heard that before. And then what really, I think what's brought it to a head for me is when it starts affecting other people, because he messaged me and he said, I'm wasting so much time on this now.
Yeah, exactly.
He's getting fed up with it, you know, because he's not getting anywhere. And so
the thing is, this isn't really about her. Right, like she gets to just be in her world and do her thing and all of that jazz, right? We send her all the love in the world. It's not about that. It's what needs to happen for you to step into who you are becoming this year, to leave that whole energy behind you.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where those boundaries come in so helpfully, you know, because you then decide, when she does this, what am I going to do to take care of me? She doesn't have to change. We're not requiring anything of her. It's like, hey, you know what? I've been doing some thinking and I've decided that you, given that you have not paid, whatever, I'm now terminating our contract together. So we won't, this will be your last call. We won't be, you know, you're released from being a client, and I wish you, I'm sure you understand that, you know, I'm not here to entertain you, right? I'm running a business.
Yeah.
and I wish you all the best. But it's very clear then, this is what you are deciding to do. And she gets to have her reaction. But that can be hers.
And I guess just reconciling myself to the fact that she's not going to pay me, I guess.
Probably not. I mean, you could decide to pursue that.
Yeah, which I won't.
I just want you to say, I'm choosing not to.
Choosing not
right?
to.
Yeah.
And then when
notice
I see
the difference, right?
And then when I see her on LinkedIn saying, like she did last week, I've had the best ever year turnover wise. And I'm thinking, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
But this is the thing, right? At the moment, you're just locked into her world.
I know,
her
I'm
dynamic.
Sorry, but it just is really upsetting.
Because
it's not fair. It's not fair.
It's not. And I wonder how much of this is holding you in that kind of dynamic. Because when we tolerate that kind of experience, it's like we just find ourselves attracting more of it.
Yeah. I know. I know all this. But it's just so.
And so the beauty of that is you know exactly what your choices are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly, I was just going to say, Mary, you're Jedi mind melding with me. You know, what a great teacher she gets to be for you. You know, and that you just say, you've taught me so much about what I'm prepared to tolerate. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, exactly. And then she goes.
Yeah, and
And
she
this
won't
is
be
no
getting any more
longer
clients
taking up
from you.
your precious energy.
She won't be getting any clients. I mean, she's had so many clients out of my membership. And when I say, well, you're not in it anymore, then she's going to have to look elsewhere, isn't she? Or,
You may, and you may, if you decide you are prepared to terminate the contract, then the working contract, then you may want to write two notes, right? One is your bitch list, where you just let fly, right? And I highly recommend doing this, especially if there's a lot of resentment there. Like, write down, how fucking dare you, and get it out, right? Like, really do. And burn that, because that's just you venting, right? Let yourself vent. That's a really healthy response. And then when you've kind of come back to yourself, it's like, okay, here's what I've decided. And that's the note you send to her, you know? Because we sometimes need to like let that out all out.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I love that you've it feels like you're on the precipice.
I really am. I can't
Yeah.
cope with this anymore.
Well, we are all like cheering you on to make a
Oh,
decision that feels good to you.
thank you. Thank you for listening,
And
everybody.
you may decide I'm going to tolerate it for another year.
No, I
I just want you to know you get to decide, right? Like, I'm totally like unattached to whatever you decide. I do think there is something waiting for you on the other side of this circumstance. There's no, it's, I don't think people come into our lives, especially the ones that, you know, really poke us in our places. They don't come into our lives for a reason.
I love the imagery it's conjuring up, because it is about baggage, isn't it? It's about dragging. I feel like I'm dragging baggage along and, and I don't really need to do that anymore. I mean, money's just money, isn't it? It's like.
And the thing is that once you release her, I imagine that you will find you attracted a couple more clients who are like, let me pay up front in full.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because that happens too, right? It's like that's where the cosmic wink comes in. Oh, you did this cool thing. Yeah.
I think, not I think, I know, I think I'm going to send her an email this afternoon and I'm going to tell her that the first step I'm going to say, unless you pay by the end of this month, I'm going to remove you from the mastermind and the membership. Because I know she won't. But that gives her a little bit of, and then if she
Perfect.
doesn't, then next 1st of February, that's it.
And you may want to even say, look, you might not know this about me, but fairness is something that is really valuable. I really value fairness, and this doesn't feel fair, right? And so it's you know, you're leading from your experience, from what's in your heart. And so this is what I've decided. You know, and should you decide to pay, then I'm happy to continue on a monthly payment basis. Right. So you're giving her all of the choices too. The important thing is when you set a boundary like that you do follow through on it.
Yeah, oh, I will. I will. It's not
Love
bad.
it. Love it. Yeah. Andy, I love that. Monthly automated payment.
No chance.
Well, that, but you can
Yeah,
state that, right? You, if
yeah.
you want to continue working together,
Yeah.
I will need you to
Sign up to
sign
this.
this direct debit. As soon as you miss a payment, our relationship will be terminated. Like, you can get as clear as you like. Yeah, I was thinking Mary's on fire today too. When people show you who they are, believe them the first time. Yeah, man, I believe them about the fourth time. Takes a while, right? But yeah, I think you've tolerated this for a really long time, Sharon, and that, you know, it seems very clear cut.
Yeah.
Nice.
You. Thank you,
Come
everybody.
and tell us in the chat, in the discussion forum, when you've done it,
I
so we
will.
can all
I
cheer you on.
will. Thank you, everyone.
You're so welcome. I love it. I love it. I'm so excited to see what happens on the other side. Nice. Andy, hi, lovely.
I am such a hog. I'm such a coach hog in these sessions that I just want to say that because I had so much beautiful individual coaching from you last week, that if somebody else wants to go, speak now, forever hold your peace because.
We've got time. And exploit me. Go for it.
I know, like there's only so much space to go around. I'm like, I get an hour a week. I just am like so a little
Totally fine.
sort of aggressively hungry for coaching, which is not totally cool. So piggybacking off the back of what the lovely lady Sharon just said, I was wondering if you could speak to the fear that comes as practitioners, business owners, about whatever that fear may be, like scarcity. I don't know, I can't think right now. But what is it that, can we speak to what is it that has us hold on to clients when we know they're not the right fit? And also, like I heard you, I hear that let them go and then have trust and self-faith that, two new clients will come in and what if they don't and you've still got to pay the nursery fees? It's like sometimes it's just easier to hold on with a difficult, more challenging client because at least you know where you are. Can you, yeah.
I think you've articulated it beautifully. They're our choices, right? We decide, I'm gonna, because here's the thing. I think the fear is about loss, the potential loss, the risk of loss. I'm gonna lose that relationship. I don't know what they're gonna think about me if I draw this line in the sand. Who might they tell? What impact might they have? All of that. So we get kind of drawn in and a bit entangled with that person's situation. And what, my encouragement is to always come back to, yeah, but where are you in all of this? Right? What are your values? Because when you sit with, well, my healthy adult self, is this the last client that I'm ever going to work with? No. Both you and Sharon have been in business for a long time. Right, you know that you have peaks and troughs, and you have clients coming in and clients leaving, and sometimes they leave because we ask them to, and sometimes they leave because it's a natural conclusion, and sometimes them leaving is wrenching for both of us, but we both know it's time, right? And that's the nature of this, right? And so when you kind of let money get in the way. Right. It's actually the relationship with money, I think, that is the thing that starts to then impact our values, right? Living from our values. So the money thing, whether, and we can call it scarcity, we can call it loss, we can call it whatever we want. But I just want you to know you're always in choice, always. Like you can choose to continue to work with this client. If they're not paying, you can choose to let them go. You can choose to give them an option to pay a different thing, right? Those choices will come from you sitting in that trust in yourself. And just to pick up on what Kate's saying about, I make it mean that to be a generous person, I need to be out of my comfort zone or even unsafe. I would doubt that belief. What does a generous person do? A generous person is full and offers back. Offers from a full cup. So when we get all caught up in, am I a good person? Are they going to judge me? Am I a generous person? Well, that needs, I'm giving too much. I'm overgiving to maybe preserve that relationship. Then I think it's just always a great indication that we just need to come back to ourselves and go, okay, what's actually true here and what are my choices? And, I think that the other thing is sometimes the best choice is the least shit one, but it's not great. right? Like I'm thinking of Sharon here, like none of us like to have those conversations. It's always like the worst part of running a business is when you have to have a difficult conversation with a client, right? The worst part about being a human is having a difficult conversation with someone we care about. None of us love conflict, right? But we have more choices than we often give ourselves credit for. And I promise that the thing that happens on the other side of that brave thing will be surprising. Sometimes it is clients come through the door. Sometimes you're just like, oh, I'm so happy that that person's gone. And then you get a bit of an influx of maybe inspiration or creativity. And you think, oh, I could do this thing. I could offer this service, or, this has sparked my thinking about a way I can share about this on social media. And that draws clients to you because they see your values in action, right? We just never quite know, right? But I think when we dwell in the fear, because I think, that's the thing, isn't it? When we're dwelling in the fear, what we're really doing is staying with that person's story. We're being drawn into their world, and we kind of leave our own. And so the invitation always come back to yourself. What matters here for you? And what's real? Where are the beliefs that are protecting you? And what does your healthy adult self want to offer you here? If you can't hear that voice, come along to one of these calls. Maybe I can give you some tips on what your healthy adult self might want you to know, right? But I think the things that help me are things like, this will not be my last client, right? Me operating my business from my values trumps everything. Really don't like that Trump has the surname Trump, because I quite like that the concept of trumping, right? But yeah, just as I digress. Right, but me living from my values, that's everything, right? That's, and I always come back to your self-belief is your greatest business asset. Does that help you, Andy?
I always find, like, in the moment, I am just so with you, and then as soon as the conversation finishes, I kind of feel up to sea. So I always have to go back a day or two later and like write notes about it. Yes, and I don't remember anything you've said, so just kind of percolate somehow, because when I'm with you, like, so in the moment, I still don't retain anything.
You've got deep presence. That's why.
Thanks.
Beautiful. Thanks, Andy. Anka.
I just see, like, I just like to share something what I see about both of those cases, which is also part of my own case, because I feel like there is, especially for us women, it's very difficult to enforce what's right for us. For all kinds of reasons. Like, first of all, to feel in our own body that we have the right to do it and where that thrust is kind of coming from. And then also, oh shit, what happens if I show up as this kind of authoritarian or like enforcing person, woman, danger? We are not allowed to be that. And then what will I have to deal with this afterwards? Like, we like to be in this kind of fluffy, nice, kind energy with people, and as we leave it, because we have to enforce something, there is some kind of invisible. I see it in all kinds of places, for especially for us as women, like an invisible kind of wall we don't want to touch, we don't want to get to it. I don't know. I just see this a lot. And in my case, which I was just reflecting on, we are a group of people who are supporting a spiritual organization who is used to get donations. So they are used to have people work for free for them, stuff getting for free, or even money donated. So they don't even treat us in any way nice or something, though we are constantly giving them something. And they are also not good in leadership stuff. So it's a very different situation. But we are, like, some of us have been employed by them even, and some of us have like left, like quit working with them, which is kind of the first thing, is the easiest is to read, to take us out. Then we have to avoid this contact, which I was just talking about. But now it's developing in a way that we are working together, and we together, like, and it's beautiful to be part of this. And may, I don't know, maybe we can do something here together too. But to, we are supporting each other, that only together we can support some kind of change in this, that we can take a stance and say, this is okay, this is not okay, and you have to listen to. We, it's not that we want to fight or win or any of these kind of lower energy things, but we want to really affect change in a leadership, in a positive leadership way. So I don't know, I just wanted to add this here to the conversation, because I felt like it was exactly this dynamic which I'm seeing here.
I just want to pick up on something, because I heard a very sophisticated protective belief in there, Anka, right? As women, it's hard to enforce any kind of boundary. I want you to doubt the shit out of that, right? And the reason is, and you can start to change it. As a woman, I choose to make it difficult to enforce this boundary. See how, like, really own it. Really own it. And then see, where does that not feel true, right? Because you did a really, again, another sophisticated thing. You said at the end, when you stand with your colleagues collectively, you are clear about how to affect change. And I imagine that involves some boundaries. So then you start to see, oh, actually, it's easier for me to honor my boundaries when I feel supported. That's the, like, truth of it, right? Another thing I heard you say is something about, you know, holding or honoring boundaries. Like, just notice your language around enforcing or becoming authoritarian. All you're doing is saying, hey, so this is how it is for me, right? And one of the things you said was it's not kind to do, to enforce or be authoritarian. I think it's so kind to share your boundaries. Right. So I just want to offer, like, notice how we buy into, we go, this is true, and then we kind of play with that, when actually the premise is flawed. Right. So I just hope me reflecting that back helps you go, oh, hang on a second. I might just need some help to figure out what are the boundaries that are important to me. You know, what's okay and what's not okay. And then how do I want to communicate that? Right. When you do this, this is what I'm going to do to take care of me. Right. So when you know, how, whatever the context is for this organization that isn't maybe paying you, or you said they weren't being very kind to you, then you get to say, what am I going to do instead? I'm going to say, oh, well, I won't be available. Right. Again, we're not here to entertain people, right? When it's our work and we've invested time and our training and our skill set and stuff, it's like, make it an active choice. Resentment free is an active choice. Yeah. Does that help, Anka? Sorry, I know I came at you there.
I totally love this, because it is so true. And the thing is also, we are men and women. We are not just, but we are spiritual people who should support for free, because we are part of that kind of organization. So it's kind of a similar but a little bit different area. And I have been many times in my life the enforcing person who got really hit for it, within the, as a woman, and also in the spiritual world. I have been a nun in that organization for 7 years, you know. So I was really like one of the leadership people from the inside, who was like the tall poppy thing, who was always getting hit. And I think we all have had maybe some experiencing like this. Doesn't matter if women or men, maybe. But the, like, what I think is so beautiful, or what you say, is like to come out of the, like, expecting danger into going back to, hey, wait a moment, what am I feeling is true in myself? And how can I only, like, recruit energy out of my own value system do what's right for me, like the boundary thing, and then watch what happens and be okay with any outcome, because the thinking is, I anyway will only benefit from something and want to live with something that is related to my own value system. And I don't want to be controlled or driven or oriented or whatever by another outer value system. Is it right? Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. And it's that thing, isn't it? Like, some spiritual organizations require their staff to work for free. You're still in choice. Do you want to do that? Because you don't have, like, there's no bars on the windows, right? And it seems to me that to show up, particularly in an organization with a spiritual orientation, is you want to be as empowered and, you know, authentic as you can be. And if there's a ton of resentment about showing up to work each day, that isn't serving anyone.
Yeah, and that's basically the version, like, they wanted to employ me now, and I was kind of interested or not, but then I saw what's going on, and I chose to work for them for free because then I can control what I offer and what not. But the people who have been employed, they were getting a 20-hour contract and expected to be like the slave in the house, kind of, you know. So there's another interesting area, like, where, how do we get into stuff? But I love this kind of staying with one's own, what's right for me, and then no matter what's on the outside, that is always something we can lean back on, and then we are in control, and then we can make choices for ourselves, and then we can grow with where our growing edge is and not what somebody else is challenging us with.
Absolutely. Thanks, Anka. Esther, I just want to come to you and your comment here. I think that's so important, that your experience of saying no can have a backlash for you. And so you've got that nervous system response built in. Do you want to talk a little bit more about this? You can say no.
What specifically are you?
I'm curious, like, it sounds like you say, how can I take care of my stress response on a nervous system level? What do you do now?
I think it's it's situation dependent, but I think it's in noticing, saying no has a charge to it. I notice just saying no, I can feel some level of activation in my system. And depending on what the situation is, I think it's around knowing whether I'm pulled into a sort of fight response or just wanting to escape from that situation. So more of a flight thing, or maybe it's freezy. But just seeing, I think it's attending to, basically. It's attending to, am I feeling fight energy? Perhaps I need to discharge that energy, basically. So if I'm noticing fighty stuff, then I might do something, swing my arms around.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really basic windmill,
yeah.
Sort of swinging around side to side. Or... if I'm noticing that I'm got flight energy, then I'll take a walk.
Yeah.
Just get my legs going. And I think returning to that sort of natural rhythm just helps to deal with the excess energy you get from the stress.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's not about sort of, I think I've just accepted that no is quite charged. And it's not a case of not saying it. It's a case of, right, okay, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
How can I support myself in doing that?
You know, I think that one of the things that we don't talk about very much in our world, right, is the very real fears about, because this is where, you know, the story of being a woman and being in conflict, right, can be tricky, is there is a very real fear right, for us as women identifying humans, because we are physically not as strong because of the way the world works, that sometimes us standing up for ourselves or saying what we need to say does have real like stressful consequences. My sense is that, or what I, from what I know, is that when we have either witnessed someone else experiencing that kind of response, so we might have grown up in a home where it was a bit volatile, or there was violence, or certain people were allowed to get angry but not others, then we have grown up with a sort of inbuilt stress response, you know, often deep empathy, because we get really good at reading the room to see who's safe and who's not safe. We're a bit like horses in that way. And that stays with us. And you notice it, like, you know, if you're in a meeting or in a, you know, even in a gathering of friends or whatever, and it just takes one person to come in the room with that kind of alpha energy. Doesn't necessarily have to be male, right? But that energy that is like, I dominate the room, right? My energy is the thing. That even that, when it feels like an internal, no, they're not for me. We even saying that no to ourselves can create that stress response. Can create that sense of, oh, I need to do something here. I can feel my body responding in some way here, right? So I really love that you've brought this up, Esther. And I think, you know, just so, you know, as a somatic coach, you're the go-to person, right? Of what to do when we're feeling that stuff, you know, noticing, oh, I'm in that fight place, so I want to discharge it. Yeah, swinging your arms around. One of the things I love to do is like rub my hands together really fast, and then just so they get hot, and then just throw the energy on the floor. I find that it's a Tonglen exercise. I find that really helpful. But anything you can do to sort of move energy can be really helpful. And yeah, going for a walk if you're in that flight place. I just want to freaking get out of here. Sometimes if you're in a meeting, walking to the loo with that intention of just walking away, knowing that you've got that choice at any time, can be super helpful. And when you're in a place of freeze, I think, you know, sometimes I will say, I will like picture myself warming up from the inside. Like I almost see that, feel that freeze as like a kind of locking and a frozen, like I think of ice. And then when I want to unfreeze, I'll like really notice my body relax and soften and sort of picture myself defrosting from the inside out. You can kind of do that quite privately. Yeah. So this is so great to just kind of see how you can play with that when you're in that place of saying no, expressing a boundary, you know, advocating for yourself in any way. It doesn't mean it's consequence-free, but it always means that you have some choices about what you choose to do and say, and then how you choose to take care of yourself afterwards, before, during, and afterwards. Yeah. So good, Esther.
Can I add something really quickly?
Please.
I worked, a coach that I worked with, the somatic coach that I worked with, had this really useful practice, which is a really lovely way of preparing for a conversation that's going to be quite tricky, and that's to practice your no's. And it is just that, basically. It's finding like really different levels of saying no, so starting really small and building up to bigger ones, and just, you know, and taking your time with it, but just notice the different levels of charge.
Yeah.
And also to, because I think a lot of people who are less rehearsed in saying no can go to a really high level no with a lot of charge.
Yes.
So it's nice to notice those bits in between, which is often a happy medium.
I love that. Really cool. Thanks, Esther. That's great. So great. Yeah. And yes, if you do need to go, please do. One thing I'm just going to leave everyone with is I want you to, what, now that you've got your meaning making map there, it's like, so where is it taking you is the question, right? What do you need to do to release it? Sheena, one of the things I saw earlier was you mentioned that I've made a mistake, right? I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about how you can release that. Did you come up with other meanings?
Hi. Yeah, I did. I have got, like, you know, 4 or 5 different meanings,
yeah,
but none of them are as big or feel as real as I made a mistake.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's the thing. You may very well be right. Maybe you made a mistake. What happens in your body when you just go, oh yeah, I made a mistake?
It feels very uncomfortable. Like, really, I don't know, a bit hot and fizzy, I think, inside.
Whereabouts do you feel that hot fizziness?
Kind of in my stomach, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it have a colour when you picture that hot fizziness in your belly?
A colour, no, but it's like, I suppose it's kind of like a little, like, it feels like a scribbly thing.
Right, yeah. Like
lots of lines and scribbling.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's moving, or it's mm-hmm. got some movement to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. If you could reach in and touch it, what do you think it would feel like?
Probably quite scratchy.
Right, yeah. I wonder if it could talk to you. What do you think it would say? What's the message from it?
I suppose it's some kind of a, you know, you've done it again, kind of.
Right.
Made another mistake. That kind of thing. Here we are again.
Here we are again. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine, like, reaching in and picking it up and then pulling it out of you?
Don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's serving you very much.
Mm.
It's like kind of a judgy sort of feeling.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So you can just practice that. Like, just imagine going in, scooping it up, that scratchy ball of lines and squiggles, and kind of pulling it out.
Mm.
Just putting it on the floor beside you. So I know it sounds a little creaky. I'm aware of the kookiness, but the reason is just to kind of go, oh, that doesn't serve me right now.
Mm.
And the gap that gets left, that hot for the gap that's now on the floor, you know, you can fill that up with some compassion.
Mm.
What do you say to yourself when you make a mistake? What would you like? What would your higher, your healthy adult self say to you if you've made a mistake?
Something like, it's going to be okay, or it's okay to make mistakes, or, you know, it's not the end of the world. Like, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's the kind of thing we would say to someone we love, right? Oh yeah, you made a mistake. Well, that's okay. It's okay. And, you know, what did it teach me?
Mm.
You know? As you kind of sit in that, like, it's okay, you're going to be okay and it's okay to make mistakes. And you look at the other meanings that you made. Do they start to have a little bit more sway? Like, does it start to feel like, oh, okay. Maybe I did make a mistake, and these other meanings could also be true.
Yeah, I think with the and, yes.
Yeah, beautiful. And the reason I wanted to come to you, Sheena, is because I think you're voicing that thing of like, that's what we do to ourselves, right? When we make a meaning about ourselves being wrong in some way, I made a mistake. What we tend to do, and this is because of our neurobiology, right? It's not a feature of your personality. Our neurobiology has us wanting to survive. That means we are about, apparently, the neurobiologists tell us, about 8 times more likely to remember negative events. We give 8 times more weight to those negative events than we do to our positive experiences, right? Because it's built into our survival mechanism. If I worry about the bad shit that can happen to me, right, then I'm more likely to keep myself safe, keep myself alive. So the reason to kind of go in and just play with that sensation that was in your body and take it out, and notice you can all do that, is the part of you that's taking it out, that's your healthy adult self going, well, we don't really need that anymore, right? And then what happens is it starts to loosen its grip on you a little bit. The reason we spend time asking some questions around it is because every emotional state will dissipate within about 90 seconds. So the questions are there to just kind of play with it, know you can be with it, but also to wait that time out because it's going to change, right? And so when you imagine yourself just taking it out of your body, what you're doing is saying, okay, that actually isn't serving me. And what it does is it makes room for the end. Makes room for the and. So yeah, I made a mistake and this person didn't cover themselves in glory either, right? I made a mistake here, and if that was different, you know, it would have made it easier for me to catch it quicker, right? Or whatever the and circumstances are. It makes room for compassion for yourself, bit of forgiveness for yourself. You start to see, oh, actually, I'm glad I made that mistake because I've learned this about that context, about myself, about other people. Sometimes those lessons can feel a bit hard won, but you're walking away with something out of it. How does that land for you, Sheena?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. The kookiness of the body stuff. I know, Esther, you will totally appreciate this, and I'm sure Andy, you do too, because you both work in that body place, right? Is that our bodies carry our imaginations and our memories, our dreams, like everything is in our bodies. We're allowed to play. We're allowed to play with that. So it can be really fun to just go, ah, that's a whole sensation that I really just don't need. So I'm going to imagine myself just taking it out of me. And to see what's allowed to fill the gap. Yeah. Yeah. Your whole face just started to light up a bit. I can feel your energy shifted a bit. Really fun. Thanks for noticing that, Anka. That's really cool. Well, loves, I could talk to you all day, obviously, because I have. But I really do am so happy to keep going when there are questions or things that are floating for folks. So we're all good. So a little bit of homework to play with is, what do you want to do to release it? You could burn some Palo Santo like I do. Dogs don't like the smell, just FYI. Or you could literally set fire to it, you know, write it all down and set fire to it. You could just look for, like, Sheena, you might want to do this, is what's the lesson? What's the gift? What's the, you know, what am I walking away with here? Can I take something from this, you know? Even if it is, you know, something that feels a bit like, oh, great, that, okay. You don't have to love it, right? And you know, the thing I suggested for Sharon, the bitch list, right? If this is about someone else, there's a whole lot of resentment involved. Let rip. Why not? There's no rule. You're allowed to do that. Yeah. But think about, what do I need to release it? How do I let go of this thing? And the reason to kind of ritualize it in some way is it doesn't, the magic that happens in a ritual, it's not that the ritual itself has much power, right? I don't think that is what happens. But what we are doing is very consciously saying to ourselves, I'm ready to let that go. So if it does come back up, right? Oh, I made another mistake. You're probably going to make another mistake in your lifetime, Sheena, right? Sharon, you're probably going to have another client that you're like, oh God, this again, right? But now you've got some evidence where you can say to yourself, oh no, we're not doing that anymore. I can bypass all that learning and get to the compassion part, the advocacy, the boundary, the releasing quicker. Right? And then this experience has served its purpose. And if you're anything like me, you need to go around the labyrinth about 18 times before you get to that place, right? There's no extra points for doing it once and done, right? So, so please do, like, take that away if it helps you, and have fun with it. Like, let yourself be creative with it. Yeah, really cool. Thanks so much for your sharing and your presence today. So great. So great. I'll see you all soon. Okay. Bye, loves. See you.